Back on Quick Slam this morning, Howard County Clerk Catherine Harper and Randolph County Clerk Will Ellis are with us. And, well, you decided not to run again. How tough a call was that for you?
Oh, my goodness. That was very, very difficult because I do really love my job very much so. But I felt like I have given as much as I can give and have advanced my county to my best of my abilities. And now it's time to let someone else come in and put their own spin on things.
All right, you still going to call her?
Absolutely. And I told her no matter what she chooses to do down the road, Randolph County and I will be here to help her in any way we can.
All right, so what are you going to be doing right now?
Well, in 2020, I plan on running for another office, and I haven't announced or decided which one. It's still a little early, so I want to see what opens up. But in 2019, I am going to do some consulting. I'm a CPA, and I'll do some small business consulting, executive coaching, because I've got bills to pay. But I'm also going to spend some time researching my family's stories. So I'm first-generation American, and my parents came to the U.S. as children with their grandparents. And it's their grandparents that have the amazing stories through World War II in Eastern Europe. And it involves, you know, the Nazis and Stalin. It involves one of my grandfathers was a smuggler, and he saved my grandmother from a Nazi war camp. And she was removed from her village by the Nazis. And pretty much everyone was killed because that's one of the things they did. But they kept her alive because she was blonde-haired and blue-eyed. And I know from history that women like that were bred. And so I want to spend time. I want to find her story. She's not alive today, and I have so many questions to ask her. So I'm going to research and see what I can find out and see if I can have that conversation.
So where is your family from, and how did they end up here then?
So I have, my family comes from three different countries, Ukraine, Germany, and Poland. My mother's father is Ukrainian. My mother's mother is German, and the Ukrainian father, he left when he was 15 years old. Because Stalin was coming in, they'd been starved for years, and he woke up one morning. His family knew that it was time to get out, but they only had enough money for one train ticket, and the family got together and decided my grandfather was the one that was going to make it. So they gave him the train ticket. 15. Here's your suitcase. Here's a sandwich, and here's a train ticket. And they took him to the train station, and he never saw his family again. But he ended up in Germany, in southern Germany during World War II, and I always say you think he went out of the fire. Frying pan into the fire, but he went into a small farming community, and he worked as a hired hand, and he fell in love with the farmer's fiery redheaded daughter, and that was my grandmother, and they married, which is an amazing story in that. And then they came to the U.S. My mother was born in Germany, and then they came to the U.S. with her as a child.
So what are your earliest childhood memories then?
They're kind of different. So English isn't exactly my first language. We spoke a lot of Polish and German and Ukrainian in my household. And so my language skills were mixed between the three languages. And it kind of got difficult, especially with competing grandparents with different languages on which languages we were going to learn. And my sister, when she went to kindergarten, she didn't know much English. And at that point, my mom's like, nope, I've had enough. You live in the U.S., you're going to speak English only. And so a lot of that language is lost. It's still the culture and the beauty of it still with me. But I completely agree. If I have to be able to speak English, you know, I've lived in the U.S.
If pushed, could you still speak the other languages?
No. And I studied some German. There's a few phrases I know, but I really want to spend some time.
We can't put those on the radio, Catherine.
Yeah, probably not. But I want to spend some time learning it. And then the other thing I remember a lot is food. So everyone loves food, and food is a way for us to share our culture. We may disagree with a lot of stuff, but we can always enjoy food. And so that's what I remember, the pierogies or the, you know, the different cookies and things and all the different food that my family shared.
Was there a favorite one for you growing up?
Oh, yeah. Pierogi is my favorite.
No, what is that?
So it's kind of like a dumpling, and most cultures have dumplings, but the Polish one is the one I liked the best was filled with sauerkraut and mushrooms. And so we get to get, oh no, don't shake your head, Will, they're delicious. And so the sauerkraut, we actually ferment it, and I'm actually going to put some sauerkraut in a fermenting crock today, so it'll be ready on New Year's. And you ferment it for 3 weeks, and it's delicious. It's got all these probiotics. And then you cook it up in this dumpling with onions and butter.
It's my wife delicious. Would love it, and so would my mother. I'm from Wisconsin originally,
yeah,
where they love sauerkraut, and I could never stand it. But sauerkraut and mushrooms, my family, aside from me, would just love it.
Yeah,
that's me too. No. No, thank you. I appreciate it, but
hey,
thank you.
Hey, that's more
no
for me.
Exactly.
Any sweet food that you grew up liking?
Yeah, so we would eat these little kolakis, so like a little cookie that had like a jam in them. And then we eat a lot of poppy seed bread and some other little cookies that came from Nuremberg that actually have like a wafer in them. So the idea was that a priest took this holy wafer and made a cookie out of it, like a nut bread cookie. And we would get those every year from Germany, and well, they're really, really good.
Well, I had no idea what we were getting into today.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I meant to tell you, you could do a full show on her by herself.
So once you get all this information put together about your family, what do you hope to do with it?
Well, first and foremost, I want to be able to document it for myself to kind of come full circle to remember this heritage that I came from. And then I want to be able to share it with my children who don't, I didn't raise them with a full appreciation and understanding, and that's a mistake of what their culture is. And so I want to have that for them. And then I want to be able to share it with others. And that generation from World War II, there's not very many of it left, and those stories have not been documented. And war stories are harrowing, and you don't share those stories with your children, maybe not even your grandchildren, but you share them with your friends. And so I want to document my family stories and other stories that are out there too.
There's a reason they call that the greatest generation.
Absolutely.
All right. How old are your kids?
My son's 21 and my daughter's 18.
All right. So they're at an age where they can really appreciate what your relatives have been through then, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think others have too. And my story isn't really necessarily different than anybody else's American story coming to the U.S. as immigrants. It's just that mine's a little closer.
All right. How about advice for new county clerks coming on board?
Find another county clerk that's been in the office for a little bit and let them be your mentor. Do not be afraid to ask questions of people. And don't be afraid to call the state with questions you have.
Absolutely. The learning curve kicks in. There's a lot of information, but the learning curve will kick in and know that you have a very important job.
Yes. And there's a lot of legal obstacles out there that you've got to make sure that you're on the right track so you can jump over them and not get tripped over them.
All right, and there are a lot of contracts you got to sign too, aren't they?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
The commission signs, but
we go through them.
We give our advice. They may not take it, but we always give our best advice.
We always give our best advice to them.
All right, the new Howard County clerk.
Shelley Howe, yes. She'll start January 1. She's been doing some temp work in my office. She went to training this last week.
She's my frequent caller down there to talk about court cases
and that kind of thing, too. Well, you'll like her a lot as county clerk. So the nice advantage for her, because she worked for the associate circuit clerk, is that she knows where the bathroom is. She knows how to work the postage machine. I mean, those are very important things to start out with.
Yeah, you don't have to turn around and ask somebody, where's your postage machine
at?
All right. We've got about a minute or so left. Where is the role of the county clerk going to be 10 years from now? Is it going to change a whole lot, Catherine, or is it going to stay the same?
I think it's going to stay the same. It's very important. It is I always think of it as if it was a city, be similar to a city manager. It's a chief administration officer. It's kind of the glue that holds all the offices together, and all the other offices report into it. And I think that's going to continue to stay the same.
What do you think, Will?
Absolutely. I can't see too much more changing. Our plates are pretty full the way they are.
All right. Are you going to invite her to the commission meeting tomorrow?
She is welcome to Randolph County anytime.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Catherine. Will, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. That's going to wrap up this portion of Quicksland this morning.